Meeting is called to order at 5:13 p.m. The roll was noted. The agenda was approved.
No, the agenda was continued to the next regular meeting. Oh, sorry, the agenda was approved.
The agenda was approved. Sam and Mike are in attendance. Barbara is not here. Barbara Gorson is not here. The minutes were put off till the next meeting because Sam was not at the April 26th meeting, so we don't have a quorum of people who were at the meeting. We had a public comment. I like libraries because you get books and get to read them. And now we are on to staff reports, and the reporter is working. Okay, so I made some notes to go along with the report this time, just to kind of note some things. On page one, the very top, pooled cash, which also appears at the very back to the last page, is a positive number.
Yay.
Not much, but it's positive. So that's about all you can note there.
How long will it stay positive?
Yes, it should.
Well,
I suppose it'll stay positive, won't it?
It's not going to stay positive.
No, well.
No, I mean, seriously, let's get real here.
Yeah, it should. It may go negative again, but we should get money back at the end of come July when the state pays, the county pays us for June. We will be ending this year with a positive fund balance. We are anticipating that. But we'll get to that in a minute. In terms of revenue, we are 83% of the way through, and tax and maintenance of effort are only at 75% of the way, and they're at 73 and 75 respectively, so they're doing right what we thought they would be doing. Okay, so on revenues, there's really not much else. Everything else is pretty much holding the way it was. Expenditures, if you look on page 6 and 7, telecommunications outside, it's about a third of the way down. Is high partly because of a $14,000 encumbrance that probably will not be fully spent, and also it's an AT&T encumbrance that's on there, and because we have only received about 29% of our E-rate and California telecommunication fund credits for 09-10. Finance recommended that we project the expenditures out to the end of the year at a higher rate and not rely on the E-rate reimbursement, which is fine with me at this point. If you get it, so much the better, but let's, you know, we're trying to take this as conservatively as we can, so we're not dependent on it. I'm not a Pollyanna anymore. I lost it. On page 7, software maintenance services are high, and this is actually an error.
Was there building and maintenance, going to sell the OEM outside, which you paid for some reason they didn't apply here?
Just that it was at 94%, but it's because the encumbrances are at 20,000. So, yeah, I didn't really worry about that one. Software maintenance services on page 7. That also a third of the way down. It's also high. This is actually an error. The maintenance fee for self-check actually doesn't get paid now. It gets paid May of 11. And the purchase order was put on. We didn't actually get an invoice. The purchase order was put on, and that was a mistake. And so it got corrected, but not in time, but happened in May. So the correction happened in May. And then a second PO was for software that we contracted for with LibLime for where we were going with our new ILS, but we're changing tracks a little bit. And so that PO was also taken off in May. So it's... The encumbrances of $38,000 is not there anymore. Page 8, refunded fees and fines. Finance.
Before you. Leave page 7. Mm-hmm. Under books and periodicals, I noticed that, well, I remember in the past that there was going to be accelerated expenditure. By the near the end of the fiscal year to catch up on that line item?
That line item is really only $491,000. Okay? Because it was $839,000. We took out $30,000 from it to pay for computers, and the rest of it we held back. So it's still showing as that much. That's why you've got a 74% over to the side, because what we have spent so far is actually 74%
of the 491.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and they are, they're sending it out, and it's definitely a lag time, but yeah, that's, in fact, I'm concerned about going over in some areas, so yeah, that's,
okay. Okay.
So then the appropriation is not 809, it's 491?
Well, the appropriation is still in at 809, but we didn't ever adjust it down for what we held back to give the state, and then when the state didn't take it, we just agreed not to spend it. I don't think there'd be any other place to put it, really, would there? I mean,
no, we don't use a contingency account. We could, but we could have reduced it, but it sounded like unless something happened, we wouldn't spend it. We don't do that.
Well, otherwise, we're just going to reserve.
So then just paying the 443 balance, it really is a balance, but it's not going to be spent.
Right. So the year-to-date expenditures are 365,580 out of 491. So that's...
And there's no plan to spend the 443, 419, 71.
There's a plan to spend 130,000 of it. I think we already have by today. I think we already have spent it. Good question. I'm sorry. I should have noted that and I missed it. Some of it just gets to be so natural to me. That. So refunded fees and fines is actually something we didn't use to show as a separate line item, but we... finance wanted to, I think. If somebody...
They get fined, but then they persuade them that they shouldn't have been.
No, they find... They have a lost item, and then they find it, and we give it back to them, give them the money back. So,
Do we give it back to them even if we went and bought a replacement book?
Yes, and we used to wait 2 years, let them have, I think, a year or two to do that. Now we cut it down to 6 months.
Oh, that's good.
You find it within, you lose a book, and you find it within 6 months, we're giving the money back. Tighten that up. The office furniture and office furniture and equipment was actually paid for by the Friends, and this is when we get donations from the Friends, it's for something that's actually in our budget. It comes into the Friends donation line, but it gets spent out of the line, like the furniture line. So there is revenue to cover it, but it just doesn't look like it.
$50,000 out of whatever.
Hey, it all counts. We're finding that.
Not that I would like to use $50,000, so.
There you go. Personnel costs. Our part-time expenditures are 95%, but overall we're okay due to the temporary line being very under-expended. We did get some updated figures from payroll, and when we look at the projections for the rest of this year, we did use their numbers for payroll itself being higher than we anticipated for regular employees, but the temporary is going to come in a lot lower, so we estimated that some of that money is not going to be spent.
So we've got a lot about as many temporary workers as we project to be using.
Yes. Staff did a lot more covering and trading and just not using it. High Medicare is balanced by a lower than projected health insurance figure, which was kind of odd, but it did come in low. But in any cases, when we look at the projections to the end of the year, we use numbers that payroll gave us or finance gave us. So
we did get a reimbursement on the health from CalPERS, so that brought down our health costs, a one-time reimbursement.
And unemployment is also high because of the layoffs, but again, we accounted for that higher number in the year-end projections. So if you want to look at the year-end projections, they're on this five-year operating fund projections. And we have gone over this, I would say, ad nauseum, with finance, and we're pretty confident that the number is just going to be this or close, and that we should end with a fund balance of net operating gain of $433,000, We started with a negative 319, so ending at about 113, 114. And obviously you can slip one way or the other, but it's still, there shouldn't be anything, shouldn't be any major surprises between now and the end of the year. There's, you know, should be something that, small, but nothing big that we're anticipating. So, that's kind of where we are for this year. We're going to make it.
I got a question. Going back to the revenue and expenses, under the revenues we have,
what page are you on?
Well, page 5, to begin with, we have the, I mean, that first column is adjusted estimate, and it's, in essence, it's our budget, yeah, budgetary amount, which is the $11,435,000. But then under, on the expense side, we have a column called adjusted appropriation. And if you go to page 9, that grand total of that number is $7,509,851.
Page 9 is personnel only.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Page 8.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
But page 8, if your point is that it's lower than the 11 million, page 8 is...
Page 8 is...
10977.
Okay.
We did go into the year budgeting less than we anticipated getting in revenue.
Okay, no, I misread page 9.
Yeah.
So
that would have been nice, huh?
And,
at a moment, I got some money.
But I let's see the. Oh, I see. Okay. So yeah, we're pretty much on track, like you say. Okay.
Yeah, revenues came in lower. Mm-hmm. So that's where we are for this year.
Did you say what kind of safety cleaning equipment you use in the library? Is it more equipment than credit?
It's both. I believe that there's shoes, being system, maintenance people. Do you need couriers too?
Couriers, people, and vans.
Yeah. Not a lot, but there's some. Okay, so on to. Well,
I haven't seen a lot of libraries in past since recently, so I was just wondering. Maybe
black vests?
Sometimes. Black vests, maybe, yeah, or asbestos in one of the libraries that had a suit up for.
Okay. Actually, I'm going to switch these. 10-11 budget update. A little different figure than what I presented last month, and this is what I'm intending to present on in the 7th. Mike, do remind me to talk to you about the 7th, because you've got budget hearings for the city,
yep,
in the afternoon.
Till all day, till 5 o'clock.
And then you come over here at
6?
Okay.
It's fine, you can get the library at 6:30, or is that correct?
Actually, are you on the financing authority?
Yeah.
6:15.
Okay, well, I have to be done with the other one at time then.
Okay, so we reworked it, and the numbers are actually better than what I presented, and we go into the year hopefully with a positive fund balance. And
are you looking at the speed of this cost?
It's at the back of your packet. Well, you might have printed it.
There we go.
Done?
No, that's not it. That's still a 5 year.
Should be.
In fact, this packet here.
Here's another one. It should be there, but isn't that it?
It's not even looking at my head.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, there it is. Right here.
Yeah,
that.
You have it. Here we go. got it together.
10/11, there we are.
10/11, we...
We gave them last year's fund balance, $113,939.
Right, and then we end, it looks like we end with a net operating gain of another $129,779. And this is based on the reduced materials budget by the $272,000 and the $71,000 savings in temporaries. It has the additions of, that we talked about at the last meeting. Sam, I did have the ILS in there as a full year cost, but, you know, we're still exploring that. And these are based on figures from finance. And one of the figures that changed quite a bit that we discovered at the end of the year, which helped, was what the city charges us, what it's based on, had been estimated high. And because our budget's that much lower, it actually is a lower figure.
Some lower numbers.
Yeah, so we took it down for the rest of this year based on what Raymond estimated and also for next year. So, and that, if I can find it here, professional services fiscal on the second page. Sorry, these pages are not numbered. Professional services fiscal, we had estimated $605,000 this year. Raymond is saying $520,000, and for next year, we applied the formula and came out with $556,000. So...
Is that the total 5.5% number?
Well, no, there's...
Because you also got other services.
We've also got the...
The legal services.
The audit is in there, too. That's the only other one that's in there, I believe. But it's, the formula is, oh, I have a comment on that. We did comments on these, so we can know what they are. Or we just have it includes the audit. It's the...
What are my questions? 5.5% of operating costs excluding...
Minus debt.
And capital costs.
And capital, yes.
And transfers.
And transfers.
Transfers, that's right.
And transfers.
How do we comment?
Got to check our comments. So... For 10/11, I did, we kept the state, yeah, we kept the state grant in there. For 11/12, actually, I took it out because we may not meet maintenance of effort in 11/12 if our budget goes down significantly. I took fines down quite a bit since we're not meeting them this year. So anyways, I do have a memo, I don't have it with me, but a memo that explains the differences. Janitorial, we weren't sure when we met last time. We've met with them, and it's only going to be about $8,000 more than what we, what the bid came at. And there were some things, some additional things we needed doing, but not as much as we thought we were going to need. So that got finalized.
Just so you know, there may still be some mess in that contract that's not reimbursed. Probably going to stick with this group, but there may be some renegotiation of exactly what we want, not just here in the library, but other places they're going to stop, and how they pay people.
Well, we went ahead and, we were on five-day-a-week service. We cut it to four, like City Hall.
We were doing every other day, but they were...
I said, like, headquarters doesn't need to be vacuumed all the time. We can cut back on that. In public areas, we need to keep up, but some of the staff areas, we cut back on some things. So looking for some savings there. So anyway, it's looking okay, assuming the furlough sticks.
Moving in the right direction.
Yeah, 10/11, that one. Can I, under, well, 11/12, I'm looking at the maintenance of effort line under revenues. I have in 10/11, they're $5.2 million. And then in 11/12, it goes down to $5.1.
Right, that's because the extra money that we're getting next year, that $188,000 or something, seems to be coming out of some reserves that they owe us, and it's not really the taxes themselves.
Yeah, when I talked to Pat Bush, he agrees that actual taxes are, conversations with the assessor confirmed that taxes should go down. But because the county somehow pulls, the Library Finance Authority somehow pulls money out of reserves, that pulling out of reserve next year is adding to the property tax dollars. I still didn't quite get all of that, but that's the answer from Pat, is that it's not all next year's property tax dollars that drive it up. Therefore, the base or the continuing amount is really less than the dollars we're going to get next year. And so this is showing the after next flatness from the lesser number. It excludes that artificial bump out of reserves.
So until we're into it next year, we won't really know. But that's why we kept it flat.
I did encourage Pat to try and get that money to the library this year, if there's money sitting in reserves, as opposed to waiting until next year that we need it. I'm not sure how far that went. But.
Trying to be as...
Yeah, he started his campaign.
He's running for office.
Yeah. Well, re-election.
Re-election, I mean, yeah. Just between you and me and the tape song, never mind. I'll see it for later.
I tried to be conservative, let's just put it that way. Rather than... I think we can deal with good news much easier than we can adjust that way much easier than that. Obviously next year is, or 11-12 is a big question mark. By the way, the application and description of the task force got posted today on the website. And press release is going out, actually might have gone out today too. And so. Barbara's going to send emails out. She's, like I said, she's traveling, so today it happened while she was in the air, so she can't do it. So meet her wherever she shows up tonight. And so over the next couple of days, I'm sure she has a bunch of people she can email, including you all. So I didn't send anything to you, so I don't see anything from her by Wednesday. I'll officially announce it to you.
I wanted to ask, I imagine, you know, the task force is probably going to be looking for some more detailed financial information as part of their study. But I'd like to just ask whatever you've prepared for them to share it with, whatever joint prior board members they may ask for. I would like to receive it as it's being developed. And I'm hoping that they're going to be asking for kind of a library by library, you know, cost analysis. I'm anticipating that they would do that. So
it's kind of hard to do. Jack could probably speak to that better because I know he's had some experience with it. Because some of the costs are an economy of scale. So like a courier, you know, how do you factor in the courier service into the cost of each library? And as soon as you if you reduce libraries by X amount, maybe you don't need as many couriers, because they don't have to go to specifically many places. So the cost per library is hard to correct. I mean, right now I can give you a cost per library for courier, but what do you base it on? Is it business or, you know, how do you do it? So, I mean, that, first of all, deciding that is hard, but then how do you factor that more complicated piece of, in terms of saving money, how much do you save if you close a particular facility? It becomes harder to And you said you had experience doing that somewhere, didn't you? Not a library, but...
Don't remember having that conversation, but I have allocated costs. Typically, you can take so much, you know, a lot of costs are identifiable by some, but some, as you say, are not.
Yeah.
Then you have to come on some basis to allocate the costs. Right. Sometimes it's somebody's estimate of how much time they spend. Somebody's actually drops tracking their time sometimes. Sometimes you might say, well, simple as the size of the budget, we could say, well, the other costs, direct costs, are X percent, so maybe we'll allocate this percent the same way. So basically, it's coming down. It's kind of like a cost allocation process like the city uses.
You're going to have to make some assumptions. I mean, yeah, if you made an assumption that you're dropping four branches, let's say, or five, or whatever number you're offering, then you can sort of figure out total. And then once you've made that in that scenario, then you can say that'll save.
Right.
Just do it by, say, patronage or something. I don't know how you do it. Divide the cost of that courier time by the number of books that circulate there.
Yeah, that's
five, but you can't say by itself, or if now you change your assumption to three libraries being closed, it totally changes the courier number and doesn't work, so.
Right.
There's a way to do it, but it can get pretty messy.
Right.
You probably end up having to, Sam, I think you'd end up with two or three scenarios, not 10 scenarios. And you could do a thing, cut one branch, cut one branch and it's this one. Cut two branches and it's this one, but then what other one are you cutting? You change the number if it's two branches that have a different one, or cut five branches, which five we determine this year for this particular library stand up and would change depending on which of the other four were that you were closing. So, a little tricky.
Mm-hmm. Some costs might stay the same even if it was shrinkage, like an audit. An audit's probably going to cost what it costs.
So right. Even if whatever, yeah, there's some fixed costs that won't change regardless. And so. But it seems like we should, from a financial standpoint, move in toward being able to pull those kinds of numbers, identifying fixed costs by branch. Then you got your variable costs that are directly charged, and you got variable costs that are over, like,
fixed costs
overhead.
Are easy. Yeah. Yes. Fixed costs are easy. They're easy ones.
But I don't know. I don't know how the committee is going to be able to do any kind of analysis if they're not looking at, okay, what is the cost to a particular branch? So what are the savings if
it's closed? I could be wrong, but I don't think it's super likely you're going to close like one branch or two branches. You're either going to not close branches and try to figure out some way to reimagine this thing without closing the branches, or you're going to close some set number of them, maybe with two scenarios, this number and that number, not six choices. And if you take those and then cost them out, you could say if you close three branches, and there are these three branches, then this is how much you'll save, and this is then what the staffing would look like at the remaining seven branches if you did it that way. You could have two or three of those scenarios, but you can't have an infinite number of those scenarios because you can't do that much work. You know, calculate every possible outcome. But you can do it in groups of close three, close five, close three and these three, close three and make it a different three, and then two, five closing scenarios or something.
The other variable that gets in there is number of hours. Because if you're open more, at what point do you need to add janitorial service? You know, right now we're at a minimum level for the hours we're open. So if you add one day somewhere, do you have to add janitorial? Now, you might in some places, because they're so low right now, that you would. In others, they could handle one day, one more day, and not need to increase janitorial. So it's also, and how many hours are they open impacts utilities as well.
Could you get it like a baseline number, like cost per day, you know, per branch? And then that way, our cost per hour. So if you add hours, then
you're gonna have a base utility cost no matter how many hours you're open. There's a certain amount of electricity that's gonna go in that building. And then when you start being open, what's the incremental cost of being open an extra hour is what you have to figure out. And quite frankly, I'd like to have an economist on this committee.
Is it necessary to get the cost by location, or is it enough to say, well, if we do X, Y, and Z, we'll save so much, and some X, Y, and Z might be reducing somewhere, but just trying, because I think it's easier to extrapolate and say, here's a dollar savings if we do X, Y, and Z, as opposed to saying, here's the dollars that go to this location.
It's a little tricky, I'll tell you why, because it's sort of wild speculation for anybody listening to this tape, but if you close the Selma, it's at the end of a very long drive, you know, and you're going to save a lot more in fuel costs, and it would be dramatic. If you close Garfield Park, you know, you don't save as much in terms of the transportation, but on the other hand, it's open a lot more hours, so you're saving more than that. But which library you close affects your numbers dramatically.
Well, I'm envisioning maybe a column would say, close this branch, with a dollar amount at the bottom. But that's different than saying the net cost for each facility while it's open is X dollars. So I'm just wondering if you need that second part. You need to know that central,
maybe you can take the current, I mean, again, this is a bias towards closing branches, which is fine with me, but it's like not everybody else in the department, on the board. But if you decide, I mean, as far as a scenario or playing the game out, then I assume this committee is going to look at all these things, every one of which makes somebody uncomfortable. But I think if you were to say, if we just close this branch alone, you're gonna get a number. You can, we know what we spent, and probably that picks up where some assumptions and stuff. Or easily tell you what to save. Take the current number, current cost of doing it, and close it, come up with a number for it. But that number will change if you close that branch along with the other, another branch versus if you close it by itself. In a place, of course, it'll be a different number for closing 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 branches. You probably not can't anticipate closing more than 5, so you don't have to play with that scenario, but up to 5, you're gonna have a lot of different choices here.
What I hear Sam asking for is the cost to operate a given facility. And some of those costs are easy to identify, but then others are variable based on how many hours and what else is open in terms of, you know, like courier maintenance and things like that.
Well, yeah, I would just select an allocation method like Jim was talking about in order to spread those kinds of not so easily, you know, divided costs indirectly, if you want to speak to it that way. But pick a method. But it seems in order to do this analysis, well, because the assumption is, or the theory is, close these branches, and therefore you can raise these hours of these branches.
Right.
Okay. Well, unless you know what you're saving by closing these branches and what it costs on some per day, per hour to raise these branches, I don't know how you get to both sides of that equation. So I think that you do need to have, and you could, it would probably all come at once if you did cost center based financing, showing, okay, here's what it costs to run this branch. And then you could take that number and you could divide it by days, by month, by week, by hours, you choose. And so then you could, whatever scenarios, whether it's picked 1 and 3 and 4, well, you just add those together and then raise 5 and 6 and 7. And so I think you could make, for me, it would be a better analysis for ultimately making the final decision, because, you know, the committee is just going to ask for all these scenarios, okay? They're not making a recommendation.
But I think considering each scenario, you can handle what's being asked for. But if you just say, what's the cost of keeping it? Say you've got Aptos open from 11 to 7. The cost of opening it 2 more hours in the morning, 9 to 7, is going to be less than opening it for a whole new day from 1 to 5. Or, you know, adding 9 to 11 on 2 different days. Is going to be cheaper, probably, than a new total new afternoon for 4 hours. So it's why
is that?
Because you can probably, you might be able to not, you may not have to bring in additional staff or as much additional staff. Because you might have, like, if you have a whole afternoon, you might have to, you can't use these people because they haven't had their 2 days off. So you may need to bring the staff from someplace else. Whereas just adding 2 hours onto their existing day, they can still have Sunday and Monday off, could factor in. And also the additional electricity of 2 more hours on a day versus opening it up for 4 hours, it may depend on the facility. It may not be enough to even worry about. I don't know. We'd have to look at those kinds of things, but just saying that I'm really leery of trying to come up with what it costs per hour to operate a branch. Now, maybe it'll work. I haven't, you know, worked it through, but it's got a lot of variables in it that kind of scare me. And I don't have a problem working it through with the committee, and I don't have a problem talking it through with the Powers Board once it's done. But to try to do it, I think it's dangerous to put out there after a meeting and say, well, we came up and decided to cost, you know, $10 an hour to operate La Selva and $15 an hour to operate Aptos. To me, that's a very dangerous statistic to put out there, non-context. And so I think we'll need to be careful in how we report kind of what information we're getting as we're getting it. Does that, maybe that doesn't satisfy you, but
I know we need to be careful that as we cut back somewhere, some of those costs, the fixed costs might then be put somewhere else. So we need to be identifying those costs so that we can not assume that we cut something here and add something here and forget to add that piece in over here. It's all tied together.
I agree we should be careful, you know, about what, I guess I started out saying, whatever the committee asks for, I'd like to get it as it's being developed.
Oh, that's
okay. So that was where I started, and so, but I'm assuming that they're going to be asking, you know, some of the information that I would be interested in ultimately seeing, ultimately, because I come from the other bodies. Okay, if you're going to get me to close this branch, well, what's its cost? What's it say? Okay, so you got, in order to tell me that, you got to tell me what it cost. Okay, you know, fully. What's the savings? And then what do we get on the other end by doing that? It seems to me, I have to be convinced that it's one, a meaningful savings related to the, you know, the disadvantage and the pain that it's going to cost in the community. And that it's going to, and what we're hoping to achieve at the other side, and what does that cost, and is it going to get us that result?
One thing you got to remember is this is certainly, hopefully, not an exercise where you're just shifting money from this branch to that branch, but you're also dealing with establishing a reserve, having new equipment if you needed and stuff. And so there's some cost to you that's sort of foregoing for having that being now. That will be the other piece of this. It's not all shifted to the hours and the place or something. So that's, again, the committee's going to have to look at those kinds of questions.
Yes.
The budget we're aiming towards here is not just same star with the library with power moving around and secure branches.
And how do you factor the economy of scale part, both in terms of operation and in terms of closing, you know, like the maintenance and the courier piece? You don't achieve those savings unless you close enough places that you can cut back on, you can cut back on 10%, that doesn't help you.
And of course, I imagine if you're going to close places, you're going to increase both mobile. I mean, that's like,
right.
It's one thing to close down sell the beach, but you still then
you
need to have
right,
probably
yes,
better,
exactly.
Better bookmobile service than the branch offers or something. If it's going to be, let's say one scenario is it becomes a community center and gets a bookmobile visit or something, and so that's a new cost there. It's
exactly.
Not as much as opening the library staff there, but the bookmobile has to be there more hours or something.
But I got your message that you want to make sure that we share with the board the information that's coming that the task force is getting.
Well, I'm asking for it.
Yeah. I will share that with them. Barbara, who's the chair of the committee? I'm not the chair. She's chair, not yet, but she's convener anyway. Okay, so basically, the 5 years out, what I've done is I put in everything I can think of, recognizing that we probably can't get all of that, but the one I threw in today that I had forgotten about, as I was reading the strategic plan, is a facilities master plan, which we've actually had been recommended by several years ago to be, our plan now goes through 2012, and we have it in the strategic plan to have a new plan by February 12 or whatever, and this will require hiring professional services, and I'm working on kind of a ballpark figure, but I think that $100,000 is not unreasonable for that kind of a plan. Although that could be dependent on, we only have one facility to study, it would be a lot cheaper. So
we need to close all these facilities so we can fund the facilities.
So in the out years, I really just tried to throw in what needs to be there, whether or not we can afford it. It will be another question, but I think there are things that we need to recognize.
So those are the things I was talking about.
Yeah.
The whole point of this exercise is not enough to feel like you're always behind all the time with a sustainable library that you actually don't need to manage.
Right. So that's the 10-11 budget update.
$4.429 million.
That's with the furlough going away and nothing.
Yeah, no, I understand.
So.
I think the California state budget that we're working on.
Yeah, well, we're doing our best. So, anything?
Any comments? Anything you'd like to summarize here? I think it's just useful information. I'm glad you were able to pull this together. I'm not talking now about the five-year plan. I'm talking about the overall kind of budget situation. It looks like things are moving in the right direction.
Yeah.
We're kind of on top of it, even though we're not solving a sustainable long-term problem. We're not digging ourselves a deeper hole for this budget, which is important. That would be the answer. Let's say members of the public, let's say Bob, if you're think, you know, we should, that we...
Or the tapes, though.
We're being, that's all right, I don't mind saying this.
Okay.
He makes a point, you know, which is like, you know, if you're gonna, there's gonna be pain, do it early, get it done, don't keep spending money you haven't gotten, so. And the abstract in general, not a bad position, which I don't disagree with in the abstract. But the question is, if what we're doing is digging ourselves a deeper hole, he would be completely correct. You know, it's like, no, we can't wait another year while we mess around, we can get even deeper into a hole, and the problem's even gonna be worse. Basically, the problem's going to be slightly better at the end of this period rather than worse, which is why we at least we have the luxury of taking a year or half a year or whatever it's going to be to actually figure out how we're going to make this into a library.
And that's assuming that the program continues. We don't have agreement yet with the...
Oh, no, we don't. Just so I can tell people a brief update on that, where there it's difficult negotiations, I'd say, at the current time. And the library people are right in the middle of the difficulty of that. It's like not like everybody else. Library people have been quiet, and the rest of the city's all nasty or something. No, it's like they're definitely a part of that bargaining team and quite forceful. And the view is they're very unhappy with the idea of a two-tier retirement system. They're pushing for putting off bargaining, extending the contracts so that they don't have to confront that issue. Speaking only for myself and nobody else, maybe there's some room to talk about the 10-tier retirement system being postponed, but not the issue of like how we're going to deal with the budget crisis that the city and the library both have. So there's not yet a clear case sense of how we're going to resolve this. They're still pretty far apart. What's new and positive is that the bargaining team from the this way's employees, and this is certainly true for the other two units, the management and supervisors, is they understand we're having a problem. They no longer argue, you know, that we're hiding the money here, there's nothing going wrong here and stuff. They got that. They understand there are going to be takeaways. The question is, what are they going to be and how, what form will they take and which, how are they going to be delivered or something, not whether we need to have them. So that's at least where it's at. We were having a year ago when we were still arguing whether we had a deficit or something.
There is going to be a closed session at the library board meeting at 6:30 with Lisa.
Okay.
An update, so. I know that they're starting, Lisa's been out of town, comes back tomorrow, and I believe negotiations are starting again on Wednesday.
That's right. Thank you. I don't think that's unless you just have.
Well, one, just on this 5-year budget projection, and also just because this is news I've gotten about impacts of the new health care reform bill.
I don't think we know anything.
Okay. It is.
We've got health care is in here at quite a bit of a increase. I don't know that we probably, I don't know if the health care reform act, if we think it's going to hit. Have you heard anything about
that? I haven't heard.
I know individuals are going
to but we need to find out more information, but we're not aware of anything that would help us.
Right.
I know there are some huge increases out there in some governmental entities that are looking at giant increases.
We saw some analysis about it, and one particular component that is that all employers over a certain size, which would have to pay 60% of all the insurance for both the employee and their dependents. That's a part of the new healthcare reform. And I don't know if there's exceptions, and I haven't heard that there's one if it's under a negotiated contract.
For the employee, but not the dependents.
Dependents. For the employee, it's like 90-95%.
You probably don't pay anything for dependents currently.
I'm not so sure about that. They may be subsidized, but I don't.
Well, I just want to.
It's the whole family, 95% at the lowest cost plan. So we're pretty generous with, okay. In my opinion.
Maybe you already meet that target.
We probably do. In fact, I'm sure we do. No, 70% or 60%. We pay more weight.
I'm sure we pay way more than that. Which
is one of the reasons for trouble. Well, I
would just say maybe. No, because we
put a footnote on there about
the lowest cost. You know, the lowest cost plan. Not that one of the PBOs, but one of the lowest cost HMO plan, we either cover it with family, partner and family.
But it does set the stage for conceivably, you know, making structural cost changes that might take that into consideration, whatever that threshold is.
Make another comment.
And, you know, and maybe it'll be effective in bringing down costs, who knows?
Yeah.
It could be a positive shift.
Any comments from the public?
Ruby, have any more comments about the library?
I think she said she already made a one billion comment. What do you expect for one afternoon?
She used up all the paper. Okay. The meeting's got to end. She doesn't have any paperwork.